Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit BADASS.bank.
Member FDIC.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. This is going to be an homage to John Sterling, but I do have to say I love it when I piss John off.
It's always early in the morning, right off the bat. Guns a-blazing. I missed all the email production notes this morning, by the way, ladies and gentlemen who are listening.
Well, we were talking about the show, and I was like, well, we should have some audio in it. And I was pressing John to pick his favorite call from Sterling, and he just ripped me to shreds. So I'm recovering from that, and we'll move on. We also have Matt Sarois joining us, who's a producer of this podcast, also producer of our morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080, and a lifelong Yankee fan. Good day to you, Matt.
Yes, sir. Production is my thing, so I have all the production notes.
Yeah, you'll take care of all the notes. Listen, I think I'm to some degree going to step back here. I think that John Sterling, who died at the age of 87, was someone that Matt ended up having a personal relationship with. And John obviously is a lifelong Yankee fan. You've been listening to him since, I think, back in 1989. At least that's what I read in the production notes, was when he started. I think I would just go to both of you, and I'll start with you, John. Obviously, he was 87, so we knew his time might have been limited, and he had a heart attack in January. Just your thoughts on the man and his impact on you as a Yankee fan.
Yeah, it's interesting because, in a way, it wasn't as hard because he's been gone for a little while, right? He bowed out in the 2024 season. And really hasn't, we haven't really heard much about John Sterling, other than he had some health issues lately. But it came as a shock, right? Because he hasn't been talked about much. And it is a big loss because when you think about it, when you're the voice of something, right? You're the voice of the Yankees, or you're the official something, something of this. It's easy to put a sign up or whatever, but to be the voice of something is just something so different, right? Because, That that's how you relate to people, because there's so many people, if you think about it, that might, you know, if you look back in the day when radio was just the thing, right? Most people don't listen to the radio anymore, but when it was actually the thing, there would be times when people wouldn't even know what John Sterling looks like. They would just imagine what he looks like. And he was the only voice that people had to what was going on in the stadium. So it was an extension of the game. It was an extension of the stadium. It was an extension of life. And, you know, part of that is lost nowadays because of so much, you know, media and digital and this and that. But, the voice still carries. And when you were good enough to lucky enough to listen to him, on the radio or how digitally, however you listen to it, it was a treat. It certainly was a treat.
Matt.
Yeah, I echo exactly what John said too. He had that distinct voice like a Vin Scully, like he knew what you were listening to every single time. You know, Susan threw to him and he said, "Well, Susan, I thank you." And it was time to play ball. And I spent time yesterday getting pretty emotional because I'm about to turn 38 years old, and he called Yankee games for my whole life, my whole life. He, from David Wells to David Cohen's perfect games to the World Series championships, to Jeter's 300th hit, to Aaron Judge's 62nd homer, you know, everything. So, the personal relationship, I'm sure we'll get to it, that I got to talk to him, and have dinner with him every year for the last couple of years. I won't take that for granted. That's something special for sure.
You know, just why don't we do have a listen? You talked about Jeter's 3,000th hit. Let's just have a quick listen to that call.
So he is one hit away. He is at 2,999 as he stands in. And there is the chant, which you can hear in the background. Derek Jeter. Here comes the 3-2 from Price. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000. Derek Jeter has achieved another milestone in his Hall of Fame career. 15 playoff appearances, 12 All-Star games, 5 World Championships, and now the first Yankee to amass 3,000 hits. The captain, Derek Jeter.
Now, for you guys, that's like a huge moment in Yankee history, right? I mean, that's like you remember exactly where you were. Is that, would that be right, John?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I remember, you know, Michael Kay's call. I mean, I was watching it on TV, so I don't remember the actual radio call, but I heard it a million times, and I've heard it a lot in the last 24 hours, that's for sure. Yeah, and I think, you know, the crazy thing about that call is what Susan Wolman alluded to sitting right there, is that he cried through that whole call. And that just goes to show you, you know, his connection to the Yankees, his connection to Derek Jeter, who said, you know, he was lucky enough to have him call all of his big moments. So I think, you know, he becomes part of the, it's like a family to him, right? And, you know, you cry when your kid walks, you cry when your kid graduates, and you cry when Derek Jeter hits his 3,000th hit. That's what you do when you're that close to the action.
Matt, why'd you pick that one?
I just remember watching that game, but also listening to it on the radio as well. I would sometimes kind of put the TV on mute and listen to it on the radio every once in a while. And hearing him get emotional with that, like, because he called every single one of Jeter's games, like, leading up to that 3,000th hit, it was I think it was personal and special to him that he got to be there for that and call that game and that, you know, monumental hit for the Yankee captain.
You know, for me, again, like the 5,000 plus games, the 200 plus playoff games, I mean, it's unbelievable that he did. And he, at one point, I think it was like 5,000 consecutive. I think of the catchphrases, right? So I think of the great Giambino, an A bomb for A-Rod, burn, baby, burn, I really like. And his Judge ones, Aaron Judge ones are great too. I love the all rise. I mean, I think it's such a good phrase. Do you have a single phrase, either one of you, that you like the most?
That's funny, Brian. It's there is just like an insane amount of them. Mm-hmm. Even the ones that, like the ones you just mentioned, you pop in your head, but if you go back and look at like the highlights of like a lot of these Yankee players that you all don't remember over the years, some of the stuff he came up with, like like Melky Cabrera, the milkman delivers.
Yeah, that's
like,
good.
I forgot all about him. Shane Spencer, the home run dispenser. That's another one. And we all love It's Glaber Day. Burn, baby, burn. The Bambino Tantino and all that was an easy one for him because he would say the Bambino for Tino Martinez, the Giambino for Jason Giambi, and the Sanchino for Gary Sanchez. He had so many of them. The Grandy Man Can. I mean, the great thing about him is he would say it, and then he would come up with some like song or something afterwards. It would just kind of – it just added that extra – you just don't see that anymore. Like, I'm telling you right now, you go and you watch any broadcast across MLB – Give it like a month because these might be some cheese balls out there trying to get some catchphrases in. Give it a month and you'll never hear any of that. You'll never hear any of that. Like even Michael Kay with George's home run last night didn't nail it. Everyone says, oh, great homage and all this. He didn't nail it. He did not. Right. He did not nail it. He paid respect to him, but he didn't nail it. Then that art is gone, Brian. It's just gone. Yeah.
I mean, I want to respond to that, but I want to give Matt, you any particular one or two stick out for you?
I loved his story about Austin Romine that he told. I think that even us on the podcast when we had him on back on episode 66, I think it was, he said, like, I think Austin Romine pinch hit in that game, so he had no idea he was even going to hit a home run. And by the time he was on his way to second, he just blurted it out, "Romy, my homie." It's just so funny. And he said, like, you know how he obviously was on the same plane, but sat in the back of the plane and said that Austin Romine saw it online and went back and said, "I absolutely love it. Keep using it. You know, whenever I do hit my next home run," type of thing. That's just a cool story for me.
Well, you know, okay. So I'll give you my perspective as a Red Sox fan. You know, we talked to a couple local guys who know Sterling, you know, Mike DeMauro for the New London Day, who was with you, Matt, at those dinners, and so was Joe D'Ambrosio, who's also, in my opinion, one of the great broadcasters. And there's a couple things that I thought were interesting to share. One is, you know, they talked about Vin Scully, who's a nuts and bolts guy, whereas John Sterling was not as nuts and bolts and very performative, right? And you know, DeMauro said, if you want to know – you know, what happened the last 10 times so-and-so was up with runners in scoring position, Sterling's not going to give that to you, but he'll give you some memorable moments. And for me, I'm a Red Sox fan. So I always thought he was obnoxious. I couldn't stand Susan Waldman. And over time, I've grown to appreciate it. I think that things changed when they started putting cameras in the radio booths. Because now it's like ridiculous, you know. Like we talk about Scott Zolak with the Patriots, and it's so performative now that almost everyone sort of has to do it. But with Sterling, it was both. I think that the natural, organic stuff that came out on top, like the Yankees win, became so over the top. And I think part of that's because of the cameras. But that doesn't change my agreement with you, John. Is that regardless how you felt about him, he had a distinct style and voice. And there are some really good young broadcasters, but generally speaking, they can be conversational, maybe technically perfect, maybe, but I don't know if we're going to get that organic person anymore who's truly like transcendent from the game, which Sterling was. I mean, as you said, Michael Kay might be a career broadcaster who's had an incredible career, but he doesn't transcend it because he doesn't have that je ne sais quoi, that special quality that's a little different. And so it makes me sad, obviously, the end of a life, the fact that he didn't get to see his daughter get married, all those things are extremely sad. But just from a pure sports standpoint, I think it's sad because there are so few distinct voices left and very few young people have that style. And that, to me, it really, in some ways, is part of an end of an era.
Yeah, Matt, you made a great point just a little bit ago about you turned off the TV sound and listened to it on the radio or listened to it however. And, you know, that's important too, because a lot of people do that. Yeah, and it gets a little bit tougher now with the digital age with delays and all that because it's not perfect. But you know, that is something, it's a great option to have. And a lot of people, that's the familiarity, right? Like they feel comfortable with that voice. And if it be Susan and him or just him alone, it's something that people look for and they seek it out.
John Senecal, Matt Sorois, Brian Shackman, our episode 238.
a fan base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, a bit of a tribute to John Sterling, who passed away at the age of 87. You know, he came at the right time, 89. He had five World Series starting in 96. And it's sort of in the modern era. I mean, they haven't won since 2009. So as you guys sort of mentioned, he kind of was synonymous with the winning, and now, you know, it hasn't happened in so long. I'm just I'm curious of what it will mean when they win again with a different voice. I mean, how do you feel about the present guys?
And it is, I think it's hard to get used to. I mean, very talented, came from the Seattle Mariners, and Susan's still there. But I mean,
what's his name again? The new guy,
Dave Sims.
Yeah, he's very good, right? But he's
very good and great resume, but it's not John Sterling. Like, it's like I always assume that once John Sterling left, Susan would follow, right? Because then you just get a whole new package in there.
Yeah,
it'd be easier for people to take, right? Not to say that she's not good at what she does. It's just that I feel like it's not easy to listen to the new. I don't know, Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, no, and it's why John was a true one of one, and why everybody said that yesterday, is a true one of one and the only one, because you can't duplicate it. You can't replicate it. You can't duplicate it. No matter how hard you try, there won't be another John Sterling. And Dave Sims and Susan Wallman do a great job on air. They're both old school broadcasters, but it's still not the same flair, and it's not the same sound that John Sterling provided.
Yeah, no, it's a lot like not hearing Bob Shepard's voice when you're going to the stadium,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And you heard it for years after he left. You'd hear just when Jeter came up, they'd play his name, his voice. But, you know, it's going to take time, Brian. Like anything else, it's going to take time. But for to be a public address announcer is one thing. To be an actual voice of a team that you're with for three, four, 5 hours in some of these games back in the day, it's a whole different ball of wax. It's going to take time.
Yeah, I kind of attribute it to – you know, I grew up, I mean, everybody stayed home sick to watch The Price is Right. And you watched, you know, Bob Barker, like, for all those years. And then Drew Carey shows up, you're like, man, screw this. I'm not watching this anymore type of deal, you know?
Well, I mean, I almost think that that's a great metaphor for, you know, and it doesn't – I can't figure out if we're just old or it's truly like the end of things. Because you can make an argument that we're just old and we can't get used to these things, but yet our kids don't put the thermometer on the lamp so it goes up so we can stay home to watch The Price. Like, our kids don't do that for anything, right? It's not like there's another reason for them that makes them, you know, want to see some sort of daytime TV. So it is that we're old, but it also is the end of things because things are different, right?
Right.
And so I think that's so true. The Price is Right analogy is great. And I remember even, you know, with my wife early in our relationship, listening so much to the radio and, you know, in Joe Castiglione was more in the Vin Scully, you know, lane than the John Sterling lane. And same with Sean McDonough, but they're both great in their own ways. But I think it's a really phenomenal point. I just want to ask John, anything else in the production notes that we missed?
Yeah, I think I want to hear what it was like sitting with the man at the table. I mean, how many times you had dinner with this guy? I mean, he was on our podcast. He was so gracious. When you talked to the guy, it was like you were – I mean, we didn't see him face to face, but it was like you were sitting there with him. I mean, what was it like just hanging out?
He also was like – he was like grateful to be on.
It was. It was like he didn't have to do that at all. And it was like we were doing him a favor. It was very strange in a way, but he made us feel comfortable talking to him. I was like, all right, okay.
Yeah, and that's how it was at the dinners too over at the Capitol Grill down in Stanford with the email group I'm a part of, with Joe D and Mike DeMauro and Bob Picozzi and like a bunch of them too, like a bunch of legends in broadcasting.
Explain to everyone how did this start? How did it start?
Well, it started with Mike DeMauro.
He's a columnist for the New London Day.
Yeah, he ended up writing a column about how the Yankees were and how WFAN were kind of on the fence of re-signing Sterling back in 2011, I believe he said it was. And he wrote a nice piece about John Sterling. And he said, like, about 2 weeks later, he got a message from John saying it was the nicest thing anybody's ever written about him. And he called him back. And they had a nice talk, and he said, I'm part of this, you know, email chain, and, you know, why don't you come down and have dinner with us? And he's like, I'd absolutely love to. And it came like a tradition like that. And he loved those dinners. He really didn't. He didn't have to be there, but he wanted to be there. He wanted to be there with us just to reminisce about old Yankee games. Like I say all the time, those couple dinners I got to go, I canceled plans with people to make sure I was there, because he would bring his World Series rings and let people let us all try them on and take photos with them.
But no, he didn't do it in a way that was like, he wasn't being like a cocky prick about it.
No, absolutely not. He was one of the most humble people I've ever met. And that's not just me saying this because he passed away yesterday. It's honest to God, the truth. Like, he's just an everyday humble guy. And I mean, the recall that he had, even he was probably 83, or 84 last time we sat down and had dinner with him, talking about like his days with the Atlanta Hawks. He was like, I remember like a playoff game back in like 84 or whatever, like game three, you know, we were down by six and they came back to win, like detailed everything. Like he was still there. And he did that with the Yankee games too. And the stories he had, we were just blown away. But the thing that like really made it even more special was he came to me as a 32-year-old kid at the time in this business and was like, what makes you like radio? You know, what makes you like, he wanted to know why I got into radio and like what I loved about it and what it meant to me. And he took the time to do that with everybody at the table. And just honestly, that's why I say a true one of one.
Final thought, John?
No, I mean, it's a sad day. I mean, you know, obviously for the Yankees, and you know, time will heal all wounds as usual. I was amazed from listening to all this that he did not call Aaron Boone's walk off in 03, and that it was
Charlie Steiner
because they flip flopped extra inning games on the calls, and he got the odd one, and it was in the 11th inning when it happened. So he missed that, and that was Yankee lore. And There's saying that he made that call for Aaron afterwards and sent it to him, and Aaron says he can't find the recording, but that's going to go down in the Yankee lore that there's a mystery after the time recording that he made for him to give to Aaron Boone. So I thought that was really interesting. Among those hundreds and hundreds of stories I've read and the multiple calls, you always get time, you know, when someone passes away, to reflect and look at pictures and watch things, and it's and that's part of it, right? And that's the cool part of it. And for someone like him, we're going to have this for the rest of our lives. If we ever want, you know, we just pop up something and listen to his call and listen to it is high, it is far, it is gone.
You know, John, I'm great. Because I was in Boston in 03 waiting for the team to come home. So I was overnight at the Crab Salad, Howard Johnson's, I don't think is any there anymore behind. But you weren't my photog that day, I don't think. And then we just remember because we were going to be there in case I was the morning news anchor, be there in case the Red Sox won. And then we stayed up late to see the results of the game. And then I had to be back on the air at 5 a.m. And I just remember how I think I just want to go back because you triggered that this morning, Matt, how defeated we weren't just defeated because we lost that game in that series, but how we felt we would never beat the Yankees ever. That was how. So when you talk about reflecting, to go back to that moment when it mattered, it just feels like it mattered so much more. And so John Sterling, that's his parting gift to me, I guess. It's really fun to listen to you both talk about it, because like for Matt, it is stunning that, you know, what year were you born?
I was born in 88.
Right. So you basically a year old when he took over. And so every conscious moment you've had as a baseball fan was from him, which is really amazing.
That's it.
And I appreciate that perspective. And John, obviously, you know, most of your adult life, right? You're in high school when he took over.
I was 14. Yeah.
Yeah. So just incredible stuff. So
One thing I'll say too, like, and I took away from John Sterling, because when I called him to have him come on and back on episode 66, he said to me, he's like, call me. He's like, don't text me. He's like, because you'll be wondering why I'm not getting back to you. He's like, and it's because I do not text. So honestly, I always say to people now, ever since that day, like, call somebody, don't text them. call them, hear their voice. He had a flip phone, so he never texted anybody. So yeah, give somebody a call and tell them what they mean to you.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, John. You've been listening to episode 238 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit badass.bank.
Member FDIC.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit badass.bank.
Member FDIC.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download, and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.